Hey, boys and girls, it's your old pal Fletch Fletcher here for the Menstalgia Podcast. I'm coming to you from my kitchen because during our last episode of the podcast, we were about 10 minutes into our discussion and Fidel's big fat foot kicked the power strip, which meant when we turned it back on, we did not know that everything we'd talked about for the first 10 minutes was erased. So to catch you up, again, I'm your host Fletch Fletcher, and on tonight's episode, we have the Crazy Vets, Cartman, Fidel, and Zohan, along with Roach. But we're also joined by Zohan's father, Salty. Salty's a 30-year veteran of a major metropolitan police department and now runs ProjectSalty.com, which is a super bitchin' badass workout video app, which allows you to download your workouts every morning before you go to the gym right on your phone. It's pretty cool, actually. Anyway, we had launched into a discussion in which Zohan was explaining to all of us how he used social media to play a huge practical joke on one of his friends that he actually likes but wanted to torture anyway. So, I hope you enjoy the show. Cue the music! Right. Don't put the power. All right, we're back. Jesus.
Sorry, sir.
Welcome to another edition of the Manstalgia Podcast, the podcast where real guys get together to discuss real issues in a real way. On this podcast, we speak about fact and opinion in an honest way. This is a show where there are no safe spaces, no crybabies, no filters, and facts don't care about your feelings. As always, I'm your host, Fletch Fletcher. I'm a retired cop and the king of useless information. I have not been declared a suppressive person by the cult of Scientology, and I still did not watch your piece of shit-ass copy of The Notebook. All right, so Cartman.
So I'm looking through my phone, and I'm wondering what the hell's going on, and then I'm like, oh.
Okay, stop. There you go. Perfect. I couldn't see his face.
You're
not
drunk.
That I normally want to, but.
And he responds, he's like, yeah, I'm pretty fucked up right now.
Wait, were you saying you were fucked up in the emotional sense or in the physical inebriated sense?
Inebriated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's not fucked up
at all.
So
that was like the first.
I mean, we've said way worse than
that. No, I was inebriated and, like, you know, we're having like family conversation. And in the middle of the family conversation, I was just like, you know what? I need to make fun of Cartman right now. And that's literally how that went down.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, that's how we tell each other we like each other.
Yeah.
No, how we really tell somebody that we like each other is so Zohan and I go fishing. And we're sitting there, we're waiting for the lake to open up, and we start talking about, we'll call him Q-Ball.
Oh, this is the best troll ever.
So we're talking about how Q-Ball moved to a certain area that you don't want to go to.
Nobody knows Charlie. Just say he's Charlie.
Okay, Charlie. Who moved to...
Poor bastard.
He moved to Palmdale, right?
So, Palmdale.
City of Pompton.
So we're talking about how everybody isn't upset that, or he's all upset that nobody will come and visit him. And we're like, well, he lives in Palmdale. And Zohan's like, you know what? I'm going to go through all of his Instagram and hashtag Session 8 Housing.
Oh, my God.
And this is like.
For those of you that don't know, in California, Section 8 housing is welfare housing. It's low income. It's single mama housing.
I was just trying to get him more friends. That's it.
So it's like 4:30 in the morning, and we're all in this app, and we can see where each other are. And we realize that he's at work, but he didn't respond to anything Zohan posted. And I'm like, you know what would have been really funny? Is if we post this up in Drinking Bros Podcast Facebook page and have the Drinking Bros start going through and blasting his...
For those of you hearing small voices, you got to understand Cartman's crotch goblins are running through the room with us.
What's a crotch goblin?
Okay. What the fuck is going on here?
What are you giving your kid, dude? You're teaching him early, huh? You getting him started?
He's fine.
Okay, I'll just pick up
the
story.
It's like when your piece of shit dog barks in the middle of the podcast, too.
So I think we've mentioned the Drinking Bros podcast before.
Yeah, we have.
And so basically,
and the Drinking Bros are Matt Best, and the Black Rifle crew, right?
Yeah, all those dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, what I did is I screenshot Charlie's Instagram, and I put it on the Drinking Bros Facebook page, and I said, "Hey, you guys, can you please troll this dude? And he's a buddy of mine, and you basically make my day and make fun of his truck, please."
Did they do it?
These dudes went hard. Yes. These guys went hard on his Instagram. They were talking about how the truck he has for little dudes, about how gay he is.
Now, this is your friend.
This is my friend.
This is your friend.
Yeah.
Like a really good friend.
How small his dick is because of the truck he has.
Talk about the one they said about his girlfriend.
But you love him so much. You love him so much. You took the time to enlist other guys.
Other veterans.
Wait. I don't know if he loves him or loves the abuse.
Which is
it's both.
It's both.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, we love the abuse, but do you actually care about this person as a human being?
Yeah, shit happened.
Okay, if he needed your help moving, and I always use if somebody
Fuck,
calls
no.
you,
yeah, no, no, no. He moved to Palmdale, and I did not help him.
Okay, did he ask you?
No, but I wouldn't have moved. I wouldn't have helped him.
Okay. I helped him move once.
You like him.
I do, yeah. He's been around. He's been in my life for years and years. I mean, ever since we were small. So.
Okay, so you're used to him.
He's tolerated. How about that?
Okay, all right.
No, we love Charlie. See
that? I know we love Charlie.
We love Charlie.
Yeah, I helped him move once. I will never make that mistake again, ever.
Why?
Yeah.
There's more to that story.
Yeah, so he's a total asshole about it. You show up and nothing's packed.
Oh.
So that's rule-breaking number one.
That is rule-breaking.
And then rule-breaking number two is... Hey, help me take this up to my new place, and we'll be done at like 6 o'clock, 11:30 at night. Charlie, I need to leave. But let's just get this out real quick.
Nope.
So don't ever help Charlie move.
So as an example on this page, the first guy to comment on what I had put up said, I probably won't, as far as trolling Charlie's page, he goes, I probably won't until someone else takes the first shot, but I will follow his girlfriend for obvious reasons. The guy that commented on his post goes, so-and-so, she looks like she could be sitting on a black leather couch in a white room in front of a desk waiting for a load. And I'm like, and I'm like, this is going to be great. This is going to be great.
So that's something I've noticed is that black leather couch has become
so
its own
iconic
character.
Yes.
Right? To where you show somebody a black leather couch and they either smile and giggle or go, what the fuck is that? Right?
Yeah, you either get it or you don't.
Yeah, right. That black leather couch is its own character. So you like this dude.
Yeah, I love
him. You
Charlie.
Like him. You're
he's
friends
like,
with him.
Yeah, he's like my
you
brother.
You bust his balls.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you know, he's also one of those guys that once you get like riled up and going, he gets dramatic and he can't think straight. And, you know, he just makes really bad decisions.
Right.
So, but, so it's funny to get it going.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. So we pick certain people and certain circumstances to fuck with certain people.
Yeah.
Because we know the reaction we're going to get,
of course,
right?
Yes.
And it almost becomes like poking an animal just to see it freak out, right?
Yeah, sure. Poking a dead body with a stick.
Which I've seen done, by the way. I've seen that done.
That's happened more than once.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not sure.
I've done it.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. Is it moving? No? Oh, fuck it.
No,
by the way.
You can't say that because some people might.
We'll get back to this in a second, but I want to just take a quick poll because this just occurred to me and I've got ADD, so I won't remember. Nothing smells like a dead human, right?
No.
Nothing. I've tried to explain this to my wife.
No.
Because she goes, oh, well, I wonder if it's a dead body. I'm like, nope. She goes, how do you know? I'm like, because no, nothing smells like a dead human. Once you've smelled a dead human.
That shit is locked in.
It's locked in. Yeah. And when you smell it, you're like, oh. Yep. Oh, shit, there's a dead human here. Like, dead dogs, different. Dead deer, dead muskrats, dead squirrels, dead rats, it's different. A dead human just smells like a dead human. And now there are, you know, obviously varying states of what that smell is like, but I just wanted to see if we were all on the same page there. So you screw with him just to see what happens.
Yeah, most of the time.
But
he's also so dumb, and Charlie, I'm sorry, I love you, but he's so dumb.
Wow.
That I actually gave myself away via text message.
Uh-huh.
Because he texted me at some point, like when we were pretty much done fishing, he texted me, why are you trolling me? And I'm like, me or everyone else? And he goes, why are you doing it? I don't know who everyone else is. And I'm like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, obviously that had to do with me. I didn't tell him that. I mean, that's just how like over the top. I mean, he's, you know, whatever.
But see, that's the thing. Like, he's still your friend.
Yeah.
You still are friend.
I get ripped on you
so many times. And Roach is just the best sport about it. And yet, at the same time, if it turns on me and I get ripped on, you know, you got to be self-aware. You got to understand your weaknesses. Does that help us make each other better? Like, is that, I mean, I know we're not trying to make each other better. We're trying to fuck with each other and for our own amusement.
Get a response.
But do you think that guys fucking on each other does make us better. I mean, the
I think that depends
the
on
biblical
who they
phrase
are.
Is iron sharpens
about,
iron, right?
I was just about to say that. I think it depends on the group you're talking to.
Okay, so if iron sharpens iron,
then yes.
And everybody at this table is a piece of iron because yes. I know you all are strong motherfuckers. So if we fuck on somebody who isn't iron, we're going to shred them.
Yes. Right? Oh, absolutely.
And correct. It gets funnier for everyone else witnessing.
And if we fuck on somebody who is iron, it's only going to make both of us stronger.
Correct.
And if we fuck on somebody who is stronger than iron, it's going to make us stronger and they're going to laugh.
Right.
So the net effect is weed out the weak, strengthen the strong, or test yourself against someone better than you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
That's
sure.
Not, I mean, you know, in our social group, there's been dudes that have come in and left because they could not hang. They couldn't handle the type of shit
no.
we talk about.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they come in
the
and they're gone.
In our circle.
Oh, God, in our circle. Do you still, did I ever tell, I told the story about you thinking your cup was leaking when we were drunk.
Yeah, but I have no,
and,
I
oh,
don't
of
remember
course, you
it.
Were shit-faced.
I don't remember.
This fucking, did I tell this on the, no. the shit show?
No.
So we're hanging out, and this is how much we have fucked on him over the years. We're hanging out in my old apartment before I was married, and he jumps up off the couch and runs into the kitchen like this with his, I'm sorry, he's holding his cup and he's cupping his hand underneath it like it's spilling, but he's just running into the kitchen. And I go into the kitchen to see what was wrong, and everybody else is still sitting on the couches. I'm like, what's going on? As I'm walking in the kitchen, he's like, my glass is leaking. And I'm like, oh, fuck, he broke one of my glasses. So I get into the kitchen, and I look, and all everybody in the living room hears is, that's condensation, dickhead. He's so drunk, he forgot how science worked. And then one of our other friends, your cousin, goes, get Mr. Wizard out of the kitchen before he hurts himself. You know?
Oh, wow.
That's nothing compared to the night we got you drunk and shaved your back.
Oh, on my, was it my 21st
birthday? Yeah, we asked him. We're like, hey, dude, your back's hairy. Can we shave it? And he's like, fuck it, sure. So we lay him down. We got a Bic. We shaved his back. He hated us for the next 2 weeks as grew out.
Did you see
the rash?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the rash.
Like,
it was hilarious.
I had somebody like every night like popping all the new little pimples.
Yeah.
It was
that your you just met her bride?
Yes. actually, it was my grandma.
No, we got to tell Salty. So for the record, this guy married a woman he knew for 6 hours.
Seven
hours. Not only did he marry a woman he knew for 7 hours.
Sure, he's not a cop.
He met her on a call.
Met her on a traffic stop.
There you go. Oh, got himself a war bride.
He knew her 6 hours. And he met her on the internet before Match.com could like figure
before
out
it was cool
people,
to
like
people. On
yeah.
The
oh, that's legit.
Yeah. He
was
big.
The tender at the
head
time.
Of the game.
And we always tell people that
AOL chat.
Yeah, AOL chat. Yeah.
So
AOL chat.
So we got. We were getting close to Vegas. So you have a little frame of reference. We got. We said, okay, we got to separate the two, the girl and the guy. We got to separate the girls in one car, the guys in the other. We're taking two cars to Vegas so they can get married. And we figured, my buddy and I were driving him. We said, okay, we got the whole ride out there to convince him this is a terrible fucking idea. And he was like, he was down. I'm in. And we got 4 hours, you know, 3.5 hours there, and he passes out in the back seat. And so we're talking shit about this dumb motherfucker. I cannot believe it. But, you know, whatever. I mean, he's our bro. We're driving him out here. Whatever, you know. Sure. It's like watching a car wreck. And
I can't look away.
We get to that point when you're on the 15 and you come around the curve and you clear the hills and then the valley opens up below you and you see the lights of Vegas.
Right.
Right? That moment. You know, it's that moment in Swingers. Like, oh, God, Vegas, baby, Vegas. Finally. And then they see the lights like, Vegas! And they get excited again. So that's where we got to. And we're like, yeah, Vegas. And he wakes up and goes, I don't know if this is a good idea, guys. And we went,
oh, no.
Oh, no. No, no, no. We got this fucking far. This shit is happening.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to the Elvis Chapel.
By the way, there's a good picture right there.
Yeah, that was the ATM. This was us at the ATM in Vegas getting money out to go gamble while we're waiting for the chapel to be ready for this asshole to get married.
That's my cousin, by the way.
That's his cousin, the one that we were and he's, oh, God.
Wait a minute. You got married?
He got married.
I got married.
And then found out like 2 nights later that she pulls her hair out in her sleep.
And that she's a Jewish Nazi.
Oh, yeah. She pulled her hair. She pulled her own hair out in clumps in her sleep. She would be sleeping and then reach into her head, grab a handful of hair, and yank it out of her scalp. Mm. And he didn't know that because when he met her, she was wearing a bandana like Bret Michaels. She was like a fat, short Bret Michaels. And it, she took the bandana off. It's because she had mange, man. She had patchiness.
Yeah, no, it was like patches. Like, yeah. She had some mental thing where in the middle of the night she was just... Well, and then, you know, it's funny because she was adopted by a Jewish family, and then her dad starts telling me about how they'd get home from work one day and there's a bunch of Nazi guys, you know, skinheads in the house.
She would hang out with skinheads. Her parents were Jewish.
Swastikas up on the wall in her room and everything. Yeah, yeah.
So we called her with the Jewish.
You can't make this shit up.
No, I'm completely serious.
For the record, that's why we make fun of you.
Wow.
Oh, God. But
is that Zima?
That is Zima.
That is Zima.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a Zima.
Now, okay, so I'll take a little poll and I'll get you. Interesting. Because you're obviously salty. You're from a different generation because you're considered a baby boomer, right? And I'm a Gen Xer, and you're a Gen Xer, and then I think the rest of you assholes are millennials.
I'm unfortunately on the border.
Yeah, I was gonna say you guys are
what year?
Walking the fence.
81.
Yeah, no, you're not a millennial. Millennials can go all the way up to 80. I think it starts at 83. Well, some people say 80, some people say 83.
Yeah,
that's
what I said. I'm on the cusp. Yeah, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. I'm like,
I would just go with not.
Yeah, okay. I usually.
So you're on the baby boomer Gen X cusp.
Yeah, 60. Yeah.
64. Okay, so
a little low. Yeah.
From a different perspective, you grew up calling your friends names. I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay, so when you're teasing your friends, in the, you know. 70s?
40s. Shit. I feel that way sometimes, actually.
We're not talking about the minimum age for all your fuck conquests.
No. That would be 17?
Yeah.
18? Uh-huh. Yeah. Are we going there?
Yeah.
It's 18. Is it 18? Was she 18? Yeah.
Cartman's like, if she's under 18, she's got to be over 16. And if she's over 18, she's got to be over 50. Otherwise, it's just too normal. It's got to be weird. If it's not weird, you don't get a boner.
No, this is weird.
Look, he's not denying it. He's just giggling because it's mostly true.
I just don't know. I just don't know how this happened. I, you know, taking the kids real quick, I come back roasted.
Well, so that's another thing. Don't leave. Right? Whenever you're in a group of guys, if you leave, you instantly become a target.
Yeah, no defense. Right? No defense.
Okay. Yeah. So growing up, we grew up, we call each other fag, we call each other, you know, douche, we call each other all. Relatively same?
Yeah, same shit. I think we were more of just doing nasty stuff to each other.
Like what?
Man.
I mean, because the statute of limitations has expired.
No, I mean, like, you know, like taking turns taking a shit in someone's backpack, stuff like that.
Did you ever do the upper decker? I have yet to meet anybody who's ever actually given the upper decker.
I've done it.
What's that?
You've done the upper decker? You don't know the upper decker? Explain. Oh, put this in your repertoire because it doesn't matter what age you are.
You have a toilet, the tank of the toilet.
No, you don't have a toilet. They have a toilet.
Don't upper deck your own toilet. You go to someone's house. You go to someone's house and you go into the tank. You take a shit in the tank of the toilet.
And then every time the flush, the fucking water just gets browner and browner. And speechless, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
Okay,
no,
so
that would never cross. Yeah.
Shit in somebody's backpack.
Oh yeah, we used to do nasty stuff. Like
okay,
that.
So
yeah. We used to put fish in, underneath people's mattresses.
I heard of somebody putting shrimp inside the curtain rod in somebody's house.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's just wrong. But
dead animals in, you know, guys' cars.
Yeah,
just shit like that.
I think I put a dead squirrel. I hung it, you know, with a wire. And we had a rookie who had just gotten out of the training car. I was Explorer Post Advisor, so he looked up to me, and he would always come in and go, can I take your car? Can I take it? Okay, fuck, yeah, you can take my car. I don't care. So one night I found a dead squirrel. It was pretty bloated and shit. So I opened my trunk at the end of the night, and I wired it with, you know, some just like piano wire into the trunk so that when you open the trunk, it was hanging right at face height.
Scare the shit out of him.
And then I put it in a paper bag, and then I like taped the paper bag to the bottom of the trunk so squirrel shit and guts didn't get all over the trunk. And I just left it there, and he comes in, and he's like, oh, can I take your car? I'm like, absolutely. You know, and the first thing he's going to do is put his war bag in the trunk. And then we just all sat there and watched as he fucking popped the trunk, and this fucking dead squirrel popped up in front of his face. And he loves it. It said, I care enough about you to spend 15 minutes rigging up a dead fucking squirrel in my trunk just to get a rise out of you means I care. I always tell people, if I don't make fun of you, it means I don't like you.
Look, we were years ago. So let's see, when would this have been? Probably early 90s.
Okay.
Right? We were working in an undercover unit.
Ooh, my favorite.
All right. So here was the thing. If you took a shit somewhere, you had to try and do it by yourself without anyone knowing, or you were fucked.
So it was secret.
Oh, it's secret shit. And it went all the way from the new guy all the way to the supervisor.
Oh, God. Now, what would you do if you caught somebody taking a shit?
Dude. So what we would do is we...
Like the guy telling the story can't stop fucking laughing long enough to tell the story.
Because I have like these flashbacks these pictures of what happened.
Great times, yeah.
Well, really what we did, and really the goal was to get the supervisors, although we all got it in the ass in the end. But if we found someone in a stall, we would just empty the paper dispenser.
Right.
Just sopping wet.
Yeah, sop.
Get into the stalls next to him and just fucking bomb the shit.
Yeah, bomb him, right?
No, but I mean bomb him.
Yeah.
I mean, when you got out, it looked like you just came out of a pool. So, it was just pretty funny because we would be sitting over there at the end of the day. We're all writing reports. You know, we're just like everybody's doing their own thing. And,
right.
You know, all of a sudden it's like, where the fuck's Al? Oh shit! Okay, and we're in a 3-story building. It's like, okay, I got the first floor, I got the second floor, I got the third floor, and everyone's like clearing floors.
Man, out and find him, goddammit! He's taking a shit somewhere.
That's what we did. All 8 of us.
Right.
Dropped what we were doing to go find this fucker taking a shit.
Yeah. How dare you take a shit?
No. So that was so you had to be careful too. So we had to be real.
See, and those were the days. My dad was also a cop, and he tells stories about. And I won't even say what department it was. It should be pretty obvious based on the stories. But he told me stories, and he's like, "Okay, this is what we used to do. You can't do this nowadays." And like, he had a partner. It wasn't him, thank God. He had a partner that was working, basically Inglewood's. You know, just that whole area, and. He had a tape of music from around the world, let's say.
Oh, where? You know where this is going.
So he drove down Main Street playing African tribal drum beats. Throwing bananas out the car.
Holy shit.
And it's terrible. Like, I would never do that. It's totally terrible. I just like, oh, that's mess. It was a different time.
Yeah,
it was a different time, right?
You'd do it.
No, I wouldn't.
Pussy.
No, it has nothing to do with being a pussy. There's
you'd get shot.
Much better ways to do that, you know. Yeah, well, nowadays you would get shot. They'd take your car and flip it over with you in it and set it on fire. God damn. But the reason I get to what did you guys call each other, I don't think the words, when we call, like, okay, how many times have we said, I don't think I've taken account, how many times have we said fag just today?
I think you're like 3 times everyone else, but yeah.
Yeah, well, because...
Fag.
Exactly. When I call somebody a fag, Piso and I discuss this, I don't mean you're gay, like homosexual, like a real homosexual person who has sex with men. I mean you're... It's 2152. I mean that you're just... I don't know, kind of cunty. You know, you could be calling somebody a fag has nothing to do with whether or not they poke another dude in the ass. I know that's bizarre to say.
Unless you're him.
Unless it's you're, yeah, right.
Unless you're, yeah.
But I don't call him a fag because he pokes other dudes in the ass. I don't care if he pokes other dudes in the ass as long as he's not poking me in the ass. You know, when he's like, oh, you have diarrhea? I don't need lube. I'll come over.
<He's>
like,
wow.
Like, no, I'm good. It's just the stomach flu, bro. It's not a call to arms.
Oh. Cartman is still the only dude that I know that runs around a gym trying to touch other people's dick and balls. Still,
well, okay.
To this day.
So I walked in.
First off, he did it. It's called Nut Taps. Nut Taps.
What's that?
So he did it to you?
No. When I walked in, he was... bending over the stove to or a drawer to get something, and I walked him out. What's up, dude? And he literally, like a cat in heat just presented his ass. And I walked up. But here's the thing. I walked up and I cupped both cheeks and was like, what's up, baby?
You didn't say what's up, dude. You said what's up, sweet cheeks.
What's up, yeah. And then, like, and, right. And then he gets up and he looks at me. We hug and he's like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I like how you presented yourself to me as I walked in. I'm not offended, but I think it's funnier than shit.
Oh,
it's,
no. He baited you. He was chubbed up the whole time.
But that's another thing I don't think. Maybe it's women or maybe it's beta guys, you know, the really soft. I mean, we all know. We all
have,
we all
know
soft
guys. That's what it was, beta.
Yeah.
Oh, beta.
We said that he was beta.
Yes, right. Okay, yes. So call back. We were trying to figure out earlier in the episode why
that's
PA got butthurt. It was because somebody called him a beta, and that's, I think, like, like, that's crossing a line. I can call you a fag, and you'd be fine.
Absolutely.
If I call you a beta, it's going to get your
that's
hackles
yours.
Up, right? So, in the sense that you, Cartman, presented his ass to me, I went along with it. I cupped your ass. We hugged. And I said, I love how you presented yourself to me as I walked in. And it was fine. I don't think girls and I don't think betas get that when quote-unquote toxic guys get together, we get gay.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we get really gay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Oh, yeah, it's that's why you can't smile when you're doing jiu-jitsu, because it makes it really gay.
Really gay.
You have to, like, grunt and make nasty expressions, and then it's not quite as gay, but, you know. Everybody's speechless on that. Like, yeah, no, it's still gay. Oh, Pisa would hate us for talking about that, because he's all up in the church of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. See, so why do certain things, inclusion of anybody here, but CrossFitters, right? Vegans, Brazilian jiu-jitsu stylists, certain devotions require people to almost have like a religious fervor to it.
Yeah, it's a cult. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's cultish.
So what's the deal with that?
Fuck if I know.
Is it just like that group tribal identity thing? That we all want to belong to a tribe, a motorcycle club, a gym. We're all wearing, you know, we're all fans of the same band. We all live the same. Is that just group identity? We want to belong.
I think that could have something to do with it, but I also think people grow out of it. I mean, I drank the Kool-Aid when I first started, and since then, I mean, I've phased out. Like, I'm just kind of like, whatever about it.
Right. But you the know, old joke is an atheist, a vegan, and a CrossFitter walk into a bar. I only know because they told everybody within 2 minutes.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's part of the excitement, and then it's suffering together and all that. And
this is pretty core.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
but I do agree with him. I do agree with him that at some point it does start to fade a little bit.
Yeah. Now, does it fade when your enthusiasm fades, or does your enthusiasm remain, but you realize that you're tired of flapping your lips about it, you think?
Well, his faded when he started to go dad bod.
Shots fired. Damn. Oh, shit. I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, you ain't bringing your dad anymore, are you? By the way, you're in incredible shape. I'm talking to Salty now. You are
I'm okay.
Just, no, fuck no. You, dude. That, you're in incredible shape, especially for your age.
How many
watch, I'm
going to
fucking stroke out
hold?
Tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
How many records do you hold?
Records?
I don't know.
Wait, what?
Yeah. No, he lifting records. He holds.
Time out. No. He brought it up. Now you have to talk about it.
They've since been broken.
They've since been broken.
Okay, but
how
you
many?
Did hold records at some point.
Yeah,
I did.
For what?
Powerlifting.
Oh.
Powerlifting total and deadlift. I had state, American, and world records.
Damn.
And
see,
and it was only like 2 years ago. A year ago?
Yeah.
2 years ago?
I just got broken last year.
Yeah, last year. Yeah.
I had a cop shrink that gave a class about mindset. It was a class called I'm Shot, and you did 4 hours in the morning of hearing cops talk about getting shot and surviving. Mm-hmm. And those 4 hours after lunch of a psychologist coming in or a psychiatrist coming in and explaining the mindset that gets you through it. And this little Jewish guy
just talks like, you know, the Cherokee boys. Oh, my God.
The Cherokee boys. I haven't heard of those guys in a long right. time.
I mean, he'd be like, if you have to kill someone, it's because they were a goddamn scorpion and the earth doesn't
that sounds
need
pretty
them.
Good.
Yeah.
Holy yeah,
shit.
Yeah. Right. So that's this guy, Larry Blum. He was the, when I, you know, when I got in a shooting, he was the one I asked them to send me to. Cause he
I
like,
know Larry Blum too.
Oh, you do?
Oh,
see?
Yeah. He's been around
Larry,
a while.
Yeah. Larry Blum's the shit, right?
I do remember.
If you are a cop and you have to have somebody open up your mind and rewire it because you got in the shit, Larry Blum's the guy you want doing it. Cause he understands. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So Larry Blum also is the only I think the world's first like tiny 5'2" Jewish power lifter, man. And he used to talk about, you got to power lift because that's how you got to strengthen your tendons and your ligaments and everything. It's, strength isn't just in your muscles, you know. So that's, you were a power lifter holding records on powerlifting.
For a few years, yes.
And now that you're, you know, the big workout guru and you got
I don't give a shit anymore. You don't.
Well, but you still do hardcore workouts and you still push yourself and you still keep yourself in shape.
Yeah, I mean, truth be told, now it's more about longevity because of my age.
Yeah, so you're in the gym. Now, this esprit de corps, this screwing with each other, this kind of camaraderie that develops of insulting each other, do you see that exists in the gym too, in the gym community, or is it much more positive reinforcement in the gym and there's not a lot of
both? Yeah, it's a little of both.
It's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Again, you have to kind of know who you're talking to, you know, when you're inside the gym. So you have Carmen can be doing a workout, you know, and I've got my iPhone out and I'm putting it in slow-mo watching his titties bounce and I'm making fun of it the whole time, you know, but I'm not going to go do that to some, you know,
he's very quiet, by the way.
Yeah, he's very quiet. You know, but,
and then
but
it's posted to everybody just so you know, so we could all watch his titties bounce.
Yes. But, well, who doesn't want to watch titties bounce? I don't care if they're guys' titties or girls'
titties.
Bust
some titties out, Cartman.
But I'm not going to, you know, but
no,
I'm,
no, no. If we're, oh, no. If he's going to bust titties out, you're going to bust titties
I'll
out.
I'll bust titties out.
I know you will. Wait, do you have to?
No. I'm good.
Those are some classy B cups right there. Put that away.
We are all now blind.
That was pretty
white.
But
you're not going to do that.
Right?
Yeah. You're not going to do that to, you know, to some, you know, random member at the gym that you really don't know much about.
No,
you know?
Of course not. But it's interesting is the random gym guy that you're not going to do that to, if you run into a veteran or a police officer or a firefighter or somebody in that public safety sector, mm-hmm. you can, don't you think you can crack on them a lot faster? And you kind of, I mean, yes, we have cops and firemen and soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines that are soft.
Especially nowadays. Yeah.
Especially nowadays. Especially when you go to a fucking academy where they're letting you take selfies and text them back home to mommy.
Yeah. The military thing I think is even a lot faster, but with current veterans, I know that I'll run into some random Navy, Air Force, Army, whatever, and we start busting each other's balls almost immediately.
Right.
I mean, I'm back in school right now, and I have veterans that are using the GI Bill like I am, and you know, veterans.
Did they make special concessions to use crayons in college for you?
I'm allowed to take my test in crayon.
As long as you don't eat them.
As long as I don't. Okay. That was the consensus.
Okay.
I have to give them back at the end of the test.
Okay. But how do you not eat them?
Like, they're so delicious. Yeah,
the purple one is my favorite.
Especially the red ones.
That was a genuine question.
Not the red ones.
Like, bro, how do you not eat them?
Purple? Grape.
Yeah, great. Oh, I'm all about the grape.
It's pretty obvious Cartman is eating some crayons.
Yeah. They're still in your teeth.
But it's the... No, but it's... You can get up on it really fast because we've busted each other's balls in the military. Like when you're in, there's always that, you know, it's almost like family rivalry, right? Like between brothers and sisters. You have that in the military, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force. We all kind of bust each other's balls. Who's the best? It's the Marines, but
all the getting to know you chit chats gotten out of the way.
You don't even need, I met this one, I have this one female sailor that's in one of my classes and literally came out because they have us introduce ourselves that I was in.
You need to get closer.
Yeah. You need me to get closer?
No, just stay on the front of it. Yeah.
Like this?
That's perfect.
Oh, hey, there we go. So anyway, there's this one female sailor that's in one of my classes, and they have us do this introduce yourself and where are you and why are you here, why do you want me? So, you know, I tell them who I am, my name, and tell us something interesting about yourself. I'm a Marine Corps veteran. I served 2 tours in Iraq. And in the back, I hear, "Don't eat the crayons." And I just kind of look. and I see this little short chick in the background just cracking the hell up. And I'm like, "Oh, let me guess." I'm like, "You are a squid?" I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Go swap the deck." I'm like, "I'll let you know if I need a ride."
Right.
And it was that fast. I mean, it was I introduced myself
and now you're,
to everyone, and immediately, you know, it's coming back. But coolest chick. We hang out, and it's like, "Hey, what's up? How's it going?"
But she couldn't have gotten away with that had she not been
in the military.
In the military.
Yes. Right.
Well, first of all, she probably wouldn't know the joke.
Exactly.
If she hadn't been in the military. So she was setting up a flare. She was setting up a signal flare, really, if you think about it. And we do that a lot. I think For example, the phrase, you were going to say something.
Oh, I was going to say, I think me being older, I think it's generational. And what I mean by that is if I come across a guy that's around my age, give or take, I'll probably act, that was a cop too, mm-hmm. I'll probably react a little differently than if I came across another cop that's 25, 27 years old. Because I know that the skin has thinned out.
Yes.
Over time.
Right.
And I don't know how this fool is going to react.
Right.
So I'm not even going to deal with it.
Well, I think for me, working, you look at the hash mark, for people that don't know, a hash mark is a small mark you get on your sleeve that denotes years of service. I think if you look at the hash marks, you can tell how thick the skin is.
Correct.
Right?
I agree.
And especially because, you know, the phrase salty itself, I didn't know what being salty was until I was a teenager and I was talking to my dad and he was talking about taking out the gate at Foothill Division with his police car.
That's happened more than once.
Yeah, it's not the first time.
You can tell it's been reconstructed.
Yeah. It's held together with bubblegum and chicken wire.
That happens with ambulances too, by
the way. Yeah.
Gate's been fucked up.
So he was talking about, he says, you know, I took the gate out with my police car, and he was a slick sleeve, which for, you know, listeners, a slick sleeve is me.
Boop.
You've not been on long enough to have anything on your sleeves whatsoever, whether it's rank or hash marks or anything. So he's a slick sleeve, and he goes in. And he tells the sergeant that, you know, he says, oh, yeah, man, I was terrified. I had to tell this old salt that I just took out the gate with my police car. I thought I was going to get fired. And I was like, he was a what? And he says, he's old salt. I'm just old salt. You know, and what's a old salt? And he's like, man, he's seasoned. He's just salty, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I'd ever heard it. And then, you know, it's kind of like the first time you ever hear a bathroom called the head. You're like, what the fuck are you talking? And then once you're in that environment, it's I gotta hit the head.
Right.
I gotta hit the head. Period. Right. So we send up signal flares, right? For example, you see somebody, you can make a couple of snap judgments about how long they've been on the job, also what branch of the military or what, you know, like if they're in public safety, you take an EMT or a paramedic or a firefighter or an arson investigator, you're gonna treat them differently than a beat cop. You talk to a beat cop, you're going to treat them differently than you would somebody who's worked undercover for, you know, forever and a day, because their sense of humor and their, I guess, saltiness is going to change.
It's a little more twisted.
Yeah, sure.
It's a little twisted.
You can make some damn perverted sex jokes to vice cops, and they're going to one-up you every time. You are never going to out-pervert a vice cop, right? Just not going to happen. Yeah. I mean, those guys sit there and watch, you know, movies to make sure the girl's not taking all four fingers past the knuckle,
right,
as part of their job. That's going to twist you out of shape a little bit. But we do, like the girl in your class, we send up signal flares. For example, I didn't know the phrase on the job, right? And before I went to the police academy, my old man said, oh, is he on the job? And I said, huh? It's just a phrase. You ask somebody, you say, are you on the job? And if they don't know what you're talking about, they go, what job? And you go, oh, never mind.
Right.
Or if you say, are you on the job? And they go, yeah, where are you at? And then you tell them where you're at.
Now, you want to know what's funny about that is, again, when I was younger.
Right.
You were talking about hash marks. Didn't even put a hash mark on until you could put two.
Right. And I heard that was that.
Now you see a bunch of singles walking around.
And see, that's the tradition I was raised with, which don't put one. They call them French fries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They said, don't wear a single French fry because that doesn't mean shit.
Right.
We wear two. Now, I had guys that were like, no. In a world of rookies getting rolled up and shit canned, I earned that one French fry. And I get that. I understand it, mm-hmm. Especially in a department where nobody's got them. It's kind of a badge of honor. But in a department where you've got guys with six hash marks up their sleeve, putting that on your sleeve, that one French fry on your sleeve, is going to get you even fucked even harder.
Yeah, no way.
Because it doesn't mean shit.
You're right. And what's even worse is when you work for a department that you have an officer that does put one hash mark on, but you're also a small enough department to know everything about everybody. And you're like, you haven't done shit in 5 years.
Right.
And you're going to put that on your sleeve.
Right.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's almost like, who do you think you are?
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of a thing.
It's just flexing. That's it.
Yeah. And I think it probably changes based on department size, demographic, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
because I know some departments, you put that on there and they're like, yeah, you made it past 5 years. Because they always say, as far as law enforcement, what I always heard was, nobody is confident that you can do your job until you've passed the five-year mark, because at the five-year mark, you should have seen just about everything. And if you didn't see it, if you haven't dealt with it, you at least have seen enough stuff close to it that you can probably figure out how to deal with it on your own after about 5 years.
And that, again, is generational.
Right.
Because I could speak for police departments now that, you know, things are getting a lot more lax and lenient. You know, there's guys that don't, you know, people don't do this because they want to do this anymore. They look at it more of as a job.
Right.
You know,
they do it for pay and benefits and not as a calling.
They're going to do the bare minimum. So in my experience, I 7 years on, let's say, better part of six and a half years.
Is that all?
That's it.
Oh, that's so cute.
Baby. Just a baby. But here's the thing.
It's like yesterday.
But I have detectives and FTOs calling me and asking me for advice because they know the things that I've done in my short career is way more than they've done in their 15.
I got told by one of my training officers, you get out of somebody's car and they immediately tell the next TO what to expect so that your reputation precedes you as a trainee when you get in the next car, so they know how to unfuck you or what areas you're weak or whatever. And my first TO kicked me out of his car. He said, "I got to kick you out of my car." And I said, "Why?" And he says, "We're getting along." I said, "What does that mean?" He goes, "I like you. I can't fairly train and evaluate you if I like you, so I'm kicking you out of my car." And I was like, "Okay, that makes sense." Got in the next guy's car, finished my training, and I got back and we ended up being on the same shift together. And he goes, "Yeah, I had to do that." He goes, you were different than any other training I ever said. Why? He says, "Why?" I said, "Why?" And he goes, "I think it's because your dad was a cop." I said, "So what does that mean?" He goes, "You came out of your mother's vagina with a hash mark on your sleeve. You were salty and I didn't know how, like, I liked it. I couldn't train you. I was like, let's just go fucking out there and kick ass and arrest people." And he couldn't evaluate me fairly and equally. So I think that.
Yeah, and that's fucked me.
That
also,
there is truth to that.
That has fucked me.
Right?
It has fucked him, just like it fucked me.
Right? But that's the thing. You come out, if you're salty already, there's almost this reputation.
But it's not, but I was also fair. Like, I guess I was fair in a sense of, right away, I'll say it any day. Day one, I can look at someone and be like, "You're a piece of shit."
Yes.
But that's because the family I grew up in, I knew it right away. But I knew I wasn't anything yet. You know,
right.
I still had to prove who I was.
Right.
You know.
I'm not saying so I'm great. I'm just saying I know you're a piece of shit. Right. But people often think they confuse you calling somebody else out on their bullshit as thinking you're better. No, I'm not saying I'm better. I'm just saying I know you're a piece
of
shit.
That's across the board. That's not just in law enforcement.
Right.
And then you get time on, and I'm not saying I have 15, 20 years on, but I have enough time on to know my shit, and now I get to be like, "Oh no, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Right. Fuck you. I know way better than
fuck
this.
Fuck you."
Yep. And you know, that's what kind of fucked me in the end, but that's all right.
Well, knowing your competence is we always talk about Jordan Peterson, you know, is this hero of men finally. But he talks about competence is threatening. Just competence.
Especially
alone.
If you're around incompetent people.
If you're around incompetent people.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
They see that competence. Oh, he's cocky.
Yeah,
no, he just knows what he's fucking doing.
You know, and then to swing it around to what we originally were talking about, there's been I have literally been told on at work by other men for calling him a bitch.
Were they being
I've been on calls and I'm like, dude, why didn't you fucking put hands on it? Stop being a fucking bitch.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours later, lieutenant's calling me and like, "Hey, did you call so-and-so a bitch?"
Yeah,
I did. Well, why?
Because he's a bitch.
He's being a bitch. I thought it was pretty self-explanatory. I don't understand why we're having this conversation.
Right, exactly. You know, so, you know, just bring it full circle. You know,
right.
They just don't breed them how they used to.
And again, when you call somebody a bitch, it's just like calling somebody a fag. When you call somebody a bitch, you're not saying, well, first of all, you're not saying a female dog.
Right.
Which, let's face it, that word has gotten like 17.
In that moment, you were being a bitch, learn something about it. And
you're not even saying you're being a really mean woman. You're not.
Right.
There's this other meaning.
A mean woman probably would have gone hands on.
What?
Yeah. Mean woman would have probably gone hands on.
Is she ugly?
Now, my favorite saying that when I was an FTO, my favorite saying, and I got called in the supervisor's office every time I said it, and I said it to every single one of my trainees. The first thing they got to the rig, I'd be like, "All right, go check it out." And they go check it out, and they come back, and they go, "Okay, I'm done." I'd be like, "Are you?" I said, "Look, I'm going to start this off, and my expectations of you are extremely low. Like, I'm going to assume that you are retarded until you prove me otherwise."
Right.
And every single trainee that I ever said that to, except one, and he's now a sheriff.
That's because he can handle it.
Right?
It's because he's like, "You fuckers are retards. I'm out."
I had to tell him. He was very much the same thing. I was like, "You need to go to another rig because I like you. Like, you, you, you know your shit. I'm like, I'm going to pass you if you stay with me. I'm like, I need to move you somewhere else. We can evaluate it. But every single trainee, except for that one guy, went straight to my supervisor. I got called into the supervisor's office. And goes, you can't call them that. I was like, well, I'm going to call
it. I didn't call him that. I didn't. I said I'm going to treat you like you are that.
So, but yeah, and that was the supervisor was the same way. It was one of those situations where, you know, intimidation because of lack of competency.
Well, you think about, all right, the movie escapes me, but, you know, it was a military or it was military policing. I think it was military. And somebody goes, what if they call your mother a whore? The guy says, well, is she? Right? It's like, well, if it's not true, then why are you getting all butthurt about it, right?
My shoe fits.
Yeah, exactly. So we call each other names to weed out the weak, identify the strong, sharpen each other against the people that we look up to, right? And we've talked. I keep saying this. I keep harping on it. One of the things that I personally have identified and other people have said it too. It's not like I'm the first one to say this, so, you know, I'm not going to take credit for it. But one of the other differences between men and women is when men identify a strong man, a strong, charismatic leader, a tough guy, a man, we have the phrase, a man's man. We take that guy and we lift him up on a pedestal. John Wayne, right? Sure. You lift him up on a pedestal and you go, that guy I want to be. I want to be as close to being that guy as I can, and I will follow him into Patton. I'll follow him into battle. Mattis. I'll follow him into battle. You know, and in all honesty, I mean, Mattis is one of the most pronounced speech impediments in the history of speech impediments. It's pretty terrible. I've made fun of speech impediments like that all my life, and yet if I ever met the man, there's no fucking way in hell.
Nope.
That I would ever make fun of his speech impediment because he would kill me with his fucking thumb. And he'd use his left thumb because it's weaker than his right thumb, and he wouldn't want to destroy my whole body. He'd want my family to have an open casket. Right? So we take these men and we hold them up on pedestals. We say, I want to be like this man. I want to be as close to being this kind of man as I can. I'm going to follow him into battle. He's going to be my leader. We basically promote the leader of the tribe, the leader of the pack. And then women... If one of them starts to rise above the rest, prettier, mm-hmm. smarter,
here comes the baseball
funnier,
bat.
they'll fucking Nancy, they will fucking kneecap your ass. They will Tonya Harding your shit.
Yep.
They will fucking cut you down. They will talk shit about you until you're back down to your appropriate station where you are lower than or the same as anybody in the group. And when we talk shit about each other, we're not doing it. I don't think we're doing it to be mean, right?
No,
if I wanted to be mean, I would just not talk to you.
Right.
Because that's as mean as can be. If you guys stopped fucking talking to me, then I'd be like, oh, my God, fuck did I do to piss those
Yeah, right.
Off.
You said something you shouldn't have.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And then I will go back and I will, you know, be.
He's leaving again.
Right. Okay. Time to claws come out. That's when I'll mea culpa is when. My group, my pack, you know, the wolf pack is stupid as the hangover made that term. You know, my wolf pack has rejected me and I got to bring a carcass in and I got to put my head down and I got to pay tribute to the guys and say, I don't know what I did, but
yeah, I mean,
I'm
in
sorry.
In the police world, military world, it's almost a test, I think.
Okay.
It's a test to see on who has a backbone and who doesn't.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, the shit's going to hit the fan.
Right.
It may hit the fan today, maybe a month, maybe a year, but the shit is going to hit the fan.
Right.
And
that's what we're here for.
Exactly.
Don't make no mistake.
And if this guy is going to piss himself because I just called him a bitch, then I know that when the shit hits the fan, this is not
He's
the guy
be
I
a
want to be with.
Right.
Exactly. And so
I
think
it's weeding out the week.
It is weeding out the week, like you said at the beginning. Yeah. I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
But
none of us are trained to do that. I think we just inherently do it.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I wasn't taught to weed out the weak.
No.
It's innate in men.
It's what was done to me, and it's what I did to people past me, and I think it just continues.
Falls back into that alpha, beta, male scenario because...
That was still, a good grocery store.
Is he still butthurt about that?
Hey, oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't even know. No,
you know what? Hey, that's an interesting point you bring up. We use one of the ultimate ways we...
I was cocking one back and then he said it.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Two comedians crushed running for the same joke. You know, but we... okay, so I don't think it's... I don't. You can say nature versus nurture. I think it's nature because you can see soft men raised by hard men, right? You could see really hard men that raised their sons and they try to, you know, instill that just hardness in them, and they're just not. They never will be. And that's not that there's anything wrong with that. Society needs artists and writers and poets and painters and stuff. That's how we...
And victims.
Yeah, right?
Victims, yeah.
Exactly. But that's how we escape, you know, the drudgery and the ugliness of life is through art. But if everything is art, then the ugliness of life is going to kill you. Sure. You have to have hard men. You have to have hard women.
Sure.
I know Cartman is particularly fond of hard women.
It's been that throughout history. I mean, you look at, if you go back and you look at
I'm going to fuck on you till you talk, dude.
Yeah,
you're
how come
so
he's
goddamn
not
quiet.
He's never this
he's
quiet.
Never
no, he's
this
scared.
Quiet.
He's scared.
Are you terrified?
No.
No.
He
gave
you
the worst mic
because every time he opens his mouth, I got to go.
Right, we literally did give you the one that's like for the loud guy. And
no, what happened is we brought in the Grey Bush, and now he's...
Oh.
Me?
No.
No.
So this whole time I'm sitting here listening for my, what'd you call him?
Crotch goblins.
Oh, I was going to go walking sperm, but
or
whatever.
Or fuck trophies.
Fuck.
Fuck trophies.
That's a good one.
You've never heard that one?
No, I haven't heard that one. No.
You fucked and you got a trophy.
You shouldn't have got a trophy for that. No,
twice.
You really shouldn't.
Definitely a participation trophy.
You were there. Here's your proof.
But he is quiet.
Yeah
right?
Yeah.
It's never
that, and I haven't drank in a while, and...
Are you getting a little...
Are you fucked up?
Wait.
What?
And, no, okay, so here's another thing about guys.
I'm not buying that
You've had two drinks?
Yeah.
Okay, you've had two drinks... And you're quiet, and you're saying you're drunk off of two drinks.
No,
and
I didn't say I'm drunk. I never said I'm drunk.
Or feeling it.
Yeah.
Okay, you're feeling it. But we all instantly turned on you like, what the fuck is wrong with
you?
Are
you a bitch?
Are you a bitch?
Right. Exactly. But so we do that instinctively. Yeah. We do that as if you're a strong guy, you're going to do that to other strong guys. And if you're a weak guy, as soon as I identify that you're a weak guy, I'm going to take one of two stances, right, in my opinion, and tell me if I'm wrong. Once I identify a weak guy, I'm going to go, okay, you're weak, but are you useful? If you are useful, I'm going to put you into this one area with all the other useful, weak people and say, weave baskets, paint pictures, tell stories, entertain us, do all that kind of stuff because that's useful. And then I'm going to go, okay, and this other guy's weak, so let me look. No, he's not useful. Get in the front of all the tough guys and absorb as much bullets as you can until the tough guys get there, right? I mean, it's a useless idiot versus a useful idiot, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not as if weakness or, I shouldn't say weakness, softness is a instant disqualifier. Send them to the gas chambers. We don't need them, whatever. It's uselessness, right? Are you contributing? If you can contribute, great. But if you can't and you don't have a thick skin and you're not a warrior and you're not tough and you're not useful, what purpose do you serve?
I think it depends on the world you're looking at.
Yeah.
Because for example, in our world, military or police, I think it's black and white.
Yeah, you're either useful or you're not. And if you're not, you're going to pay for it.
It's kind of like when we brought up the females in the military concept.
Yeah, they serve a purpose.
Not to you, they don't.
You're different. That's a whole different purpose. But okay, so this is a weird dynamic, and we're wrapping it up here. We're going to get to our final thoughts before we go into war stories. But you look at the women of the Israeli military, okay, and we all know what we're talking about. But for the audience, if you don't understand what we're talking about, everyone in Israel joins the military. Period, end of story. If you don't, you're going to get arrested and be in prison for it. So that being said, the Israelis also don't have a problem with women in combat. Mm-mm. Right? That's just assumed. If you're combat capable, it doesn't matter whether you have tits and a vag, mm-hmm, or whether you have a dick and balls, you're going to go out and kill people until we tell you to stop killing people. Mm-hmm. When we see Israeli soldiers, female Israeli soldiers, we don't mock them, right? We all know.
They will fuck your shit up.
They will fuck your shit up.
Yeah. But they were bred to do that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. If we see American female soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, I mean, we've all seen the women fighter pilots who have got confirmed kills and dogfight, and they're badass bitches, mm-hmm. you know? And that's bitch in the good sense, not in the bad sense. That's like, fuck yeah, hey, cool, you're badass. Mm-hmm. But yet our culture, our society looks at women in combat, and we can still wonder, this woman wants to be in combat. She needs to prove herself, right? Mm-hmm. We still think that way, right, wrong, or indifferent. We still think that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, is that a symptom of culturally us as Americans and us as men thinking, well, women don't belong in combat. It's only the men that go into combat, and we just have to reprogram our thinking. Or is it a symptom of we haven't just seen this effectively work for 40 or 50 or 60 years or three generations? So because we haven't seen it work, we're skeptical. And until you show us that we don't need to be skeptical, we're going to hang back and reserve judgment.
I think my view would be different than these guys' views.
Okay, so let's hear yours.
So my view is not being in the U.S. military, right? Yeah. I look at it as in a sense of this female who's going to be, I don't know, flying drones in Palmdale, fucking around in Afghanistan. She's got more balls than half these beta bitches out here.
Okay.
That's how I look at them. Okay. And I have the utmost respect for them. Now, whether how they would be in combat is not really on my brain.
Right.
Because I'm not there, and I'm not thinking that way. I'm just thinking about the military population as a whole.
But you were a police officer. Yeah. And as a police officer with women on the police department, we've been putting women on the front lines of policing.
Okay. But now, from a police point of view,
right.
I think the problem with law enforcement, and again, going back a little bit, is that there have been so many women in law enforcement that were pieces of shit.
No, you were not kidding.
I'm being honest. Yeah. And they had no business doing that job.
Right.
And I'm not saying it in a disrespectful way, but they didn't have that in them. And I just saw it time and time again. And then all of a sudden, here's a female, and I can speak 100% to this, in a drawn out fight with a guy bigger than her, straddling the guy. With a broken radio in her hand, just right. pounding this guy into the ground.
Because it's about heart, not about genitals.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Right. So those are far and few between.
In my
experience.
Is it because people aren't self-aware? Like, the gals that are in law enforcement that shouldn't be on the front lines, that basically get into it because they have this glorified notion, or they really wish they were like that, and then they can't do it.
I think it's both. I think it's people that want to do it that have no business doing it.
Right.
And departments that are, well, come on, this is right. good. You know, it's everybody can do it. Yay.
And that's the huge fallacy right there. Not everybody can do it.
That's the whole thing too. There's guys out there that come into my job field that are just, why are you doing this? This isn't for you. You don't belong here.
They don't know how to research praying mantises
probably. Well, yeah, they didn't do the college. You know, that college thing. What's that called? Los Angeles Pierce College.
Moo U, yeah. Harvard on the Hill.
Yeah.
That's it. So I think I'll give you a perfect example. We started this off talking about men talking shit to each other. We started this off talking about coarse language. And I think the reason we started this off is because as we lead into war stories, we are going to tell people real, true stories. Everybody's going to get a chance. We're going to talk about the stuff that we've seen, the stuff that we've experienced. And, it's not going to be pretty. It's a lot of times the stories are going to be graphic, gory, ugly. They're going to be the harsh truths of life that most people don't want to hear. But the reason you don't hear these stories at parties, the reason we don't tell these things to other people, like this room right here, I hate the word safe space, but for all of us, this is a safe space. This is a place where every single one at this table can tell a fucked up story about something we went through. And it doesn't matter what our reaction is. It doesn't matter what our perspective is. It doesn't matter what our emotions are about it. Nobody at this table is going to look at them like, you fucking weirdo, you freak. How could you say that? You're a monster. You're twisted. No, everybody's going to look and go, yeah, been there, done that. I get it. It's cool. And I wonder if that's not the thing about the toxic masculinity is when women hear us talking shit to each other, they just, it's not that It's that they don't understand it.
It's and not so because it not
doesn't because it doesn't make sense to them, they think it's evil and they think it's detrimental and they think it's harmful, when in reality their softness and the men's hardness provides that balance that every mm-hmm. person needs growing up. Right? Every guy needs to have the ability to suck it up and deal with it, because toxic masculinity has won back-to-back World War championships.
Yep. Well, you know, my wife will sit there and she'll look at my text, me texting my buddies that I work with,
right.
and she'll look at
You're
it
still
and
with the
like,
chick that you were that you met for 6 hours?
No, this one's fine.
This one's good. Yeah. Okay. And she'll look at my text. Sure. She's like, how can you say that to them? That's so mean. You need to call him back and apologize to him. I'm like, no, that's just
no.
how we talk
no,
to each
if
other.
I call him back and apologize to him, he's going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Are you a fag?
Yeah. My buddy at work, he's just as much of an asshole as I am, and he texted me, hey, I need to get these guns. And I was like, all right. And then he texts me back, please. And I'm like, don't make it weird. You know, I didn't expect the please to come from. I'm like, I didn't take offense to you the first fucking time. Don't make it weird with a please. Right. Whereas we talked about this on the way here, Roach and I did. I posted this on another page, but it was a woman who tweeted out or put a post on social media about overhearing her husband and her son playing video games. Yeah. Right, they were playing Smash Brothers or Mortal Kombat. They were fighting each other in this video game, and the level of shit talking was such that the mom's hearing perked up when the dad looked at his son and went, "I fucked your mom." Right, he's talking shit. He clack 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 clack. Yeah, that's right. I fucked your mom. And the son, without missing a beat, goes, "Dad, I've been further inside of her than you ever will." And the mom was dying. She's like, "I'm dying right now. This is amazing." And yet, I don't take offense to that at all. I think that's one of the greatest stories ever. If my son and I had that exchange, I'd be like, "God, I love you, kid. I love you so much." That's a great father-son bonding.
See, but
moment.
If you said that to your kid at that moment, he'd look at you and be like, mom loves me more.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So I think what did we learn? I think it's time for what did we learn. And what did we learn about guys shit-talking each other?
Fuck you, faggot means I love you, man.
What the fuck?
Until it doesn't.
And you're making it weird.
Until it doesn't.
That was
definitely
weird,
making it weird.
That
definitely
weird.
Making it weird.
No. But I think he's right. Until it doesn't. That you can be like, fuck you, fag. And then you hear it in my voice. You're like, yeah, he loves me. And I'm like, faggot. And then you're like, oh, he's not happy with me. You know what I mean? It's weird.
You know what, though? Wait a minute. One thing we didn't talk about, I know we're coming to the end.
No, yeah.
But what about women that interact like men? So, for example...
With men?
So, for example, uh-huh. some women that I described...
Right.
I would use that same terminology in a workplace.
I call women fags.
Fag, bitch. Don't be a bitch. Don't be a piece of shit. Yeah,
right.
I mean, just whatever you're going to do.
Right, exactly.
So
I don't think
where do they fit into all this?
Well, okay, so I worked with a gal on the police department, and if ever, and I don't believe in gender, you know, there's two, right? You have one part or you have another. Maybe there's three if you got the transtestical, hermaphroditical, whatever's. Right. But for the most part, there's two genders, okay? But if ever there was going to be a case to make for a genetic woman who shouldn't be a woman, she was it. I mean, she was the size of a fire hydrant in all ways. And she had, you know, the hardcore mullet. I mean, it was like Billy Ray mullet. It was like 3 feet of hair straight down the back and fucking a men's haircut. It was Zohan's, you know, getting the Zohan haircut in the front with a ponytail going down the back. And she was a school resource officer for a while, but that was the wrong damn place for her. And because she was too hard, they got her out of school because she was too hardcore. She wanted to be hardcore with these kids, and they're like, "Oh no, we thought female officer at school was going to be great." No. The kids called her Robo Dyke. They called her Robo Dyke. She was like,
awesome.
"Fuck you, go!" Blah, blah, blah. And she would show up on my calls, and she'd be like, "Motherfucker, you!" And I'm like, "Oh, chill out. It's cool. I got it." But there was a lot of guys on the department I did not want on a call with me.
Right.
I would rather have her,
right.
Because I know that she's going to whoop a ass and take a name, and sometimes she won't even take a name. So when I talked to her, I didn't talk any differently to her than I did to any other alpha sheepdog on the department. I talked more shit and with more disdain in my voice to the guy who put out a fucking 1199 or an officer needs assistance because he was fighting a 14-year-old girl and she was winning. Right? I talked more shit about that guy and had more disdain talking. He's a bitch. She's not a bitch. She's a bitch in the sense that she's not a nice woman. But she is not a bitch. She's not a little bitch. That guy's a little bitch. So don't give me this bullshit about it. I think you're right. It's not gender-based.
It's not.
It's competency-based.
Exactly.
And it's heart-based.
Exactly.
So if your competency level and your level of heart is something I respect, I can shit talk you, I can make fun of you, and you can do it back to me.
Sure.
And we bonded.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's I guess it is. It all comes down to testing each other. Either you can hack it or you can't. If you can't hack it, leave. Sure. If you can, let's go, rally the troops, and head straight into battle.
Yeah, the pack is not gender-based.
No, the pack is not gender-based.
No.
And now, granted, there is the level of what's ingrained in us as men to protect women. But God damn it, once you see a woman who can stand up next to you and you're like, oh, my God, I got to protect. Holy shit. Fuck. I'm getting out of the way. Let it go. Just go. Just kill everybody. I'll be right behind you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're capable of that level of mama bear vengeance. You're just like, fuck. I'm no, you go. I whatever you need. I got you. Mm-hmm. It's not gender based.
No.
So if women, I think, want to have that same level of camaraderie, they're fully capable of it. It's fully going to happen if they want it.
Oh,
if
to
they
each other.
Want it.
To each other, you're saying.
To each other.
To like women.
Yeah, well, no, that's what I'm saying.
See, now we're going into a whole
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, the women that are on the quote-unquote outside looking into this club of men. I can speak, and now clearly you can, and I will ask the three of you, or four of you, if we have both had women in our lives, in our professional police or military experience, that have proven themselves, and that can handle it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that can stand toe-to-toe with anybody, and I have no doubts about what their heart and their spirit and their warrior mindset is capable of. I have no doubts that they can handle being called a bitch or a fag or a piece of shit or getting an upper decker or having a fucking squirrel put in their goddamn trunk of their car.
Right.
And and you know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to them trying to get me back. Mm-hmm. I am, because that really speaks to that esprit de corps, I think.
I think those days are gone, by the way.
Which is sad.
Very sad.
Which, if you don't have those days, you're in for a weaker fighting force.
And I don't,
it's police,
I don't think it's
going to
be that female that's going to be the one reporting it. It's going to be some bitch on the side.
Oh, absolutely.
That sees it.
But that's the problem. It's
absolutely
always the third party.
Yeah.
When two people, like, here, the people that are going to listen to this podcast and get offended, they weren't here to get offended.
And here's the thing.
None of this was directed at them.
I don't have to worry about offending anyone here. I have to worry about who's listening in on our conversation and how they're going to be offended.
Right. Why do we give each other, we'll address this. Why do we give each other nicknames on this podcast? Because we know we live in the real world. And unfortunately, the real world has become a place where this kind of talk can get you in trouble.
Yes.
Even if it doesn't apply to the people that want you to get in trouble.
And even not necessarily if it's against the rules.
No, it just has to piss people off or upset them.
Right.
So, basically, stop everybody. Stop being a bitch.
Yep. Stop being a little bitch.
Yeah, that's true. It is little bitch. It should be like one word, little bitch.
One thing I've learned today: there's a difference between bitch and little bitch. So
right. Well, I mean, let's face it. Everybody who has been with a woman for longer than
six
2 weeks. Right.
6 hours.
Every guy who's been with a woman, even lesbians who've been with a woman for longer than 6 hours, can attest to the fact that everybody can turn into a bitch. A bitch is a little bitch that is a totally different thing. Stop being a little bitch. So, final thoughts, gentlemen. Let's start with our guest, Salty. Do you feel like we haven't solved the world's problems by any stretch of the imagination, but this isn't designed to solve the world's problems. It's designed to give a forum where people can hear real talk and learn some real lessons from people that live life every day. So you think we learned anything today?
I think we put a big problem that we have in society under a microscope. And yeah. I think that, again, I'm coming from maybe a biased point of view. But
are we all?
To a certain extent.
Yeah. To a certain extent.
But I think just lifespan, I think you just see more change.
Right.
Just because of years on the earth.
You're reaching the get off my lawn phase.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm with you.
Pretty
I'm
much
there.
Done with all the bullshit. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so the best thing I could have done was retire.
Yeah.
Because everything around me was changing and I wasn't. So
I had a chief tell me in the academy, he said, I don't envy you the world you're going out on a patrol into, because if some skate punk told me to go fuck myself, I'd turn the skateboard sideways and shove it up his ass.
And that's a whole other topic, because I was told the same thing 30 years ago. Yeah. So what they saw in me was like, oh, you poor bastard. Yeah. And now
I worked with a guy who became a cop, who said that one of the defining moments of his teenage years and why he became a cop was when he was out on the border of Ventura and LA counties in the area of the Manson Caves and all that stuff. And he was out drinking with his friends way too late. And the cop rolls up on him and all his friends, and all his friends were cool and they vacated. And he's the one who told the cop to fuck off. The cop punched him in the mouth.
Yep.
Split his lip, then put him in the back of the police car, drove him home to his parents and said, ma'am, sir, this is your son. He was out drinking with his friends. When I tried to tell him they need to vacate, he told me to fuck off. I punched him in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to make a complaint, I'll call a supervisor, but here he is, home safe and sound. Mm-hmm. And the father went, that's okay, officer.
Mm-hmm.
I'll handle it from here. Reached out the door, pulled him in the house, shut the door. The cop, he didn't even know the cop's name because it didn't matter. The cop punched him in the mouth. He fucking deserved it. And his dad beat his ass the rest of the way for telling a cop to fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
That is a different world. That is a world where that kid learned a very valuable lesson and then turned around and became a police officer to help kids straighten up their acts,
mm-hmm.
because he learned a valuable lesson. So you're right. We don't live in that world anymore.
Mm-mm. The world is changing. And we're fucked.
Right. Where's Jesus? Because What time Jesus come? Because I'm waiting. I'm ready.
We're running out of time.
Right. Zohan, final thoughts?
Did you learn anything special? Yeah, we're running out of time. That's what I learned.
Oh, yeah, we're running out of time. There you go. Carmen? Yeah.
Oh, wait.
There's
one more thing.
Okay. No, please. Lay it on us.
Fidel over here is still a little buttered about that.
I just want to mention that Fidel's still buttered.
Yeah, I had to get it.
Cartman, you have said maybe 20 words the whole podcast. What are your final thoughts on this?
You know what? Just don't be so sensitive.
Right?
Yeah, that's it.
Don't be so sensitive, guys.
Don't be so fucking sensitive.
You're such, be such a bitch.
Yeah.
I already said it. I didn't have yelled at my
family. What'd you get yelled at for saying? Wait a minute. They messed with you for saying I love you, man. That's just what's gonna happen. We just got done talking about how you say
fucking around.
Okay.
Calm down.
All right.
Jesus.
Roaches.
Don't marry a woman after only knowing her for 7 hours.
That's true. That's words to live by. All right. Well, I think we aren't gonna solve the world's problems. We never have said that this podcast can solve the world's problems, but it is going to help us understand ourselves a little bit better. And hopefully the guys that listen to this are going to see that they're not alone, and the girls that listen to this are going to get a little bit of a deeper understanding into what guys are all about and what we really think. So until our next episode, remember, you're a man,
act like it.